Time for another draftphysics.com, debatephysics.com also, but as I have shown in the past, and it's just going to continue, the debate doesn't have much, it's not much to it. Can't grip any of it. So, the Feynman video, where I'm making, numerous points about how Feynman's description of photons is completely inaccurate in the sense that he hasn't accurately described in any way the double slit pattern. And it's all just a bunch of storytelling. And he's a prominent storyteller, so his stories get to be told without any critique, reasonable or rational or logical. Now, let's just forget about any of that. Let's forget about the rules, like accuracy, and just talk crap. And that's okay with these people. And that's what they defend. So this Mike Gottlieb, a typically vacuous comment. I mean, I've deleted a few of these. Daft nonsense. That's the best he can do. So that's how he explains how, the projection argument, that two slits don't project just like headlights. They don't make an image over there and make an image over there. They send the light in straight line, essentially, to a location, and that the two point sources will create an image that's only 1 millimeter difference between the two images at a distance. And that's the truth. And Feynman's description of it otherwise is just wrong. It's bad physics, and it's just a fact. So instead of dealing with any of those facts, this is all they got, is shit talk. So yeah, fuck you. All right, on to another. Just, garbage content. I mean, I'm sorry, but these are garbage counter arguments. I make arguments, they respond to none of the points made. None of them. Ever. Alright, so comment on the website. It's just, again, typical nonsense. Alright, Mindless Marbles did a good experiment here. So, another promise of this more good experiments by the amateurs pretending to do physics, blah, 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 blah. And again, nothing against amateurs. I mean, some experiments are doable. I mean, you can drop things. You can do experiments. But some of them you have to understand, that there's physics involved, you have to account for the actual consequences of what kind of systems, all right, are involved. Anyway, it shows the lever argument to be untrue. So, bullshit. So the lever argument basically points out that you can oscillate a lever, with a single mass twice the distance from a double mass on the opposite side, and the two objects weigh exactly the same. That's what a lever does. It balances. It proves they weigh the same in the sense that they are acquiring just as much gravitational energy. And that's a fact. And then when you move them, when you oscillate that mechanism with energy, that the energy actually it's using gravity as storage. The only way it can keep oscillating is to store the energy in gravitational potential, and that there can't be a different amount of energy on one side than the other side, because the mechanism isn't moving anywhere. So it's an oscillator, and the last oscillator, if it's not moving, has to have the same energy in both sides of the oscillation. So it's just a basic argument that you can't have twice as much energy cause half as much energy, and then half as much energy cause twice as much energy. You can't oscillate a 10-ton train and a 5-ton train, going inverse velocities in a system, and then argue that somehow one of them has twice as much energy. They wouldn't oscillate if they have twice as much energy. So it's just bullshit that the experiment that Mindless did has anything to do with that, or proving that it takes four times as much gas to go twice as fast. No, he doesn't prove that. Doesn't even come close to proving that. Doesn't prove in any way any of the arguments I've made relevant to the lever. So it's just nonsense. So we'll go to that crappy video and demonstrate how there's no proof here. All right. So I will delete that comment also, because it's just a lie. It's just such a lie. It shows the lever argument to be untrue. It doesn't show four times the energy. It doesn't show twice. It doesn't show any of this. So it's just an absolute lie to say it shows something when it doesn't show it. All right, so what he did was he's going to rotate this lever. So again, this is about rotating, which is different. Okay, I mean, what do you call them? I've always got to search for the words. Gyroscope. A gyroscope has certain dynamics, okay? Because, and it's just a rotating, you're rotating mass. And the fact is that you're rotating still in gravity. And so there's certain things that'll happen on Earth that won't happen in space. Because of, you know, the fact that there's gravity on Earth. So things don't rotate perfectly on Earth. So rotation is a little different because friction is involved. That's, you know, on the bearings disproportionately. That's why, you know, that's why gyroscopes work, is because, you know, they work in the sense that they do some weird shit. So yeah, somebody, if I'm sitting in a chair that moves and somebody hands me a wheel that's spinning, I will move in the opposite direction that the wheel is spinning, because the bearings, the weight of the wheel, in spite of the fact that both sides are pushing out theoretically, they're not really doing that, but anyway, you know, centrifugal force, there's no such thing, you're just converting a velocity this way into a velocity that way, but anyway, you know, there's that dynamic, and it's a predictable dynamic, you're just really just saying, where's the pressure on the bearing? The bearing still exists. There still exists friction in the system. And wherever the friction is which way the bearing is going to move. And so it tends to want to move in directions. And it's all dependent on gravity. So that's why they use gyroscopes, you know, to navigate through gravity. But anyway. All right, so the experiment's basically just is going to rotate this object by dropping a mass. So again, we're using gravity to supply the energy. So it's not free falling. This object isn't going to free fall. It's not going to do 9.8 meters per second. It's not going to, all of those things don't count because its weight, okay, isn't the same weight throughout the whole experiment. All right, the faster it goes, the less it weighs in a sense. So instead of just putting an electric motor on here, okay, and showing how it takes twice as much energy to move the one masses farther out than the two masses in close. Oh, sorry, this way is how I have to do it on this image. You know, and showing how it takes four times the energy. You know, no, he's going to do this dopey experiment. All right, well, anyway, so the idea is he has the double masses in, you know, one unit of distance. And then he's going to put one single mass twice the distance. And then he's going to have both single masses twice the distance. And his argument is that there's a detectable difference. Well, fine, you know. the detectable difference is quite small, but let's understand, it doesn't take twice as much energy to move the small objects further out, and it's supposed to. The 5-ton trains going 10 miles an hour out here are supposed to have twice as much energy as the 10-ton trains in here. That's how it's supposed to come out. Okay, that would be a proof against the lever argument. If he could show how it took twice as much pressure, energy, to make that system rotate. Okay, the system where you are moving the mass, half the mass, twice the speed. Okay, half the mass, twice the speed is supposed to be, okay, twice as much energy. All right, and it isn't. And so this proves, again, you know, it actually does prove, in a sense, it's a good proof against the kinetic energy theory because his results don't indicate what we're promised. Oh, I have to move that all the way over. That's a little bit annoying, but we'll do it just for you. All right, so here's his results. So just spinning the bar, okay, came out 4.3. And ironically, the bar with both weights all the way out came out to be almost exactly twice that amount of time to go two rotations. Which is, you know, you're saying, isn't that a coincidence that he picked exactly the right mass, okay, to create twice? And so the real anomaly is this 7.3 number, okay, when the two masses are in close, 7.3, so it's faster. Then when the two masses are out here, that's the slowest. All right. So when the one mass, when you have half the amount of total mass out here, okay, that one is the slowest, and this one is faster for some reason. And the one in between is when you have a one mass out here and a two mass here on one side, an imbalance. All right, so I'll just show the what I see as obvious flaws in the experiment. Now, obviously, the experiment really has to do with, you know, there's lots of factors. There's the air resistance, which is a real thing, okay? It gets worse the faster you go. That's why you have a terminal velocity. So we know air resistance has something to do with the experiment. All right, but what I see as a flaw that's, you know, seems kind of obvious was these stupid, you know, the little things he's using to tighten the weight in a location. So instead of having a set screw, it has this key on it, and he has the keys up on this experiment. And when he has the double masses, he has two keys up and two keys down, so it makes less of a difference. But it clearly, this mass is not a straight line through the center of this rotation. And you have to have, the mass has to be centered through the rotation. There has to be, like, if I have mass here and I go through the center, I have to have mass over here. So it's always inverse. So this key should be the opposite side. Now, a simple solution to make the keys irrelevant was to have them turn sideways, because sideways doesn't change the arc that it's rotating on. So if he just turned these keys all sideways, it wouldn't matter whether you had them on the left side or whether you had them on the right side. Not going to make any difference, really. Realistically, not much difference. So it would have been a good decision for him to put the keys, inverted in this experiment. So right there, you have a difference in the experiment. Now, I'd say the other difference in the experiments, obviously, we don't know how strong the steel is. We don't know how much it bends, any of that thing. We're accelerating it, okay? So again, let's understand, we're forcing it to move. We're not oscillating the system with gravity. We're not oscillating the system with a small amount of energy. We're accelerating. We're forcing it to go faster and faster. So obviously, any bending or wobbling is going to be more for the one mass than for the two masses in close, and any wobble, you know, is going to be more frictional. It's going to cause more bearing resistance. So you don't really want that if you can evade it. So it's just another issue. But I think these keys are a real problem, frankly. So you can sort of see, let's go to the two mass one here, and it should be quite apparent. Okay, so let's spin it so you can see the keys there. Okay, so you can see that, okay, there's a key up and a key down, a key up and a key down. Now, they're in the wrong location, all right, in the sense that you can't draw the straight line, but they're close to each other. So at least it's closer to being, it's less of a, God, this, you know, the words just, they just don't, parabola. It's less of a parabola. I think that's not the word I'm looking for. Ellipse. It's less of an ellipse, but it's still an ellipse. You still have an unevenness in terms of the circle that this one is rotating on versus the circle that this one's rotating on. Those two circles aren't in the same place. So that's a problem in terms of how much mass you have and what position when you're rotating. Now, he always starts the rotation. Let's just play this one through. So he does 10 of each. You know, it's just a waste of time, blah, blah, blah. Okay, yeah, I don't need to see 10 of exactly the same experiment, frankly. You know, it's fine for you to record all that stuff in case somebody needs to see all 10 of them, but I don't know who that would be exactly. So he starts it always in this location. So I would argue that if he would have started it this way vertically, all right, he would have got slightly different numbers, because the fact is when it's vertical, all these masses now count. Okay, they're all gravity and weight on the bearing. So clearly there's more mass, total mass, when the object has these double masses in this position. So when it's in the vertical position, the total mass is higher than when it's in the horizontal position. Just turns out that way because of the fact that you're using single masses further out to duplicate the same thing in terms of moving them twice the velocity. So, I don't know if there's anything else that needs to be stated. Again, but you can just see this is a problem, okay, in the sense that the keys are almost balanced in this experiment, and they're not balanced in this experiment. So you can see they're both going up. One of them needs to be down here. All right. And like I said, if you just turn them all sideways, then they become moot. Okay, so it really should be done again that way, and then do it again with it starting in the vertical position, because your friction is going to be different. All right, and let's see what else to say. So the rest, I guess I will do a little bit of drawing. So, you know, this is just a, you know, I'm not going to count this as evidence of anything. I mean, this is not much of a difference. So let's understand the numbers are not extreme in any way. So we've got 7.3 to 8.8. Now, you know, that's a lot. It's 15%. You know, it's not a small difference. And in theory, the argument is there really shouldn't be any difference. You know, theoretically, a weight is a weight. But again, if the weights are in the wrong positions to start with, then it's going to make a difference. Now, an argument that could also be made is the more energy put into this system, the more all of this would balance out eventually, because all the wobbling and all the other defects in the rotation, the effects caused by air resistance and all that stuff would be mitigated, because you get rid of all the turbulence and all the other stuff that would happen. So these numbers would start to get more regular. But regardless, we'll just take them as face value. But clearly, there's no indication that the one with the masses moving twice the velocity, understand the mass is moving twice the velocity, doesn't show, there's no indication of anything close to twice as much energy to move that system than to move the system with the double masses here. So there's no indication that the double mass is moving this way, okay, that it takes twice as much energy to move the single masses further out. No evidence that the 5-ton train has twice as much energy. Not even close to any evidence. Pretty close evidence to, oh, it's the same amount of energy. I mean, it's, you know, 15% difference, but, you know, it's a small difference. No indication of twice the difference. All right. So, so I'll do a little bit of drawing and call it a video. All right. So again, the simplest way to prove the kinetic energy theory is to just run a motor, put a motor on that system and show it taking 4 times more energy, well, twice as much energy to rotate the, you know, single masses twice as far out as it takes to rotate the double masses. Show it. Show how the electric motor has to work twice as hard. or put just the same masses, okay, you know, and show that it's four times the energy. So they're not going to do any of that. You know, show how the Mythbusters video is inaccurate, how it's a bad experiment. That unlike your pristine, perfect experiment, their experiment is flawed, and show me the flaws. I've sort of explained a couple of flaws in yours. Why don't you show me the flaws in the Mythbusters clay experiment? And show how the cars, you know, are cheating us by not showing us how there's four times the damage, not just twice the damage. You know, how the 100-mile-an-hour crash has four times the damage. We just can't see it. Yeah. All right. So the problem with rotating it all the way, right? So when you have a balance, you know, the idea. So their contention is that if I put the one mass out here, and I put a two mass out here, okay, you know, on the bar, that I'm arguing that this side of the lever can't tell whether I put a one mass out here or a two mass here. This side of the lever can only feel the weight. So if this weighs, let's say, 9 pounds, this weighs 9 pounds. Okay, it's half the actual mass. Okay, and so its weight is going to be exactly the same because it's twice as far out on the lever. And so this side can only see the 9 pounds. So he's got a little coil of string here and then a weight. Well, all the string can see is the masses. It can just see their weight from their position. And that's what the experiment showed, right? Because it didn't show that this took this arc here versus this little arc here. So this moves twice the velocity as this moves. There's no indication that this sensed any of that. That it said this has 100 joules of energy I put into this object to move it to here. And I only used, you know, when I did the inverse with the heavier masses, that I'm somehow, you know, somehow, this is only 50 joules of energy. There's no indication that there was any difference, you know, that any of that was being realized. That 1/2 mv squared, he did no math. He didn't show us how 1/2 mv squared worked out in his experiment. Nothing. Okay, so he's just arguing with my extra point, okay? So this fact, okay, that they're claiming this has twice as much energy as this, that the 5-ton train going 10 miles an hour, okay, has twice the energy of the 10-ton train going 5 miles an hour. They say this has twice the energy, all right, even though they have the same momentum. And this experiment doesn't change any of that at all. Isn't relevant to this argument. Well, it's just relevant to my extra argument where I'm saying this side of the lever can't tell the difference. It's just a weight on the other side. It can't tell where you've tricked it with different masses, put it different locations. It can only feel the weight. Right? So it can't be any different whether there's a 2 here, okay, or a 1 here. This side of the lever is going to say it's the same amount of work to move this distance. It doesn't matter whether this is here. If this is here, this part of the lever will move exactly the same speed and end up in exactly the same location. And if I put the 2 mass here, this part of the lever will end up going the same speed and end up exactly at the same location. It can't move any differently. There's no theory for there to be any difference. So Mindless doesn't explain any theory. He doesn't say anything on the subject at all. He doesn't explain how physically this side of the lever or this weight could in any way tell the difference between the weight of this 2 mass here or the weight of the 1 mass out here. How can this tell the difference? And it can't. So it's just bullshit. All right, so understand what's happening. When you're the whole point of a balance is you're working in the part of gravity, okay, where obviously this rotation isn't good. So like when I did the lever experiment, I had the objects dangling. Okay, so they, as the lever moves in the arc, they would always stay vertical in the gravity. All right, so that's safe. When you have something that's stiff, that means it's going to bend as it's going around. All right, and that's a problem because then you're moving stuff this way instead of up against the gravity. You're not lifting something straight up. So as this dangled weight moves, it ends up being here. Okay, it doesn't move straight up. It moves up and over. All right. So understand that's just the bullshit that you have to put up with because you're doing this arc thing. So when you're first moving the mass, right, you're lifting directly up pretty much, right? It's pretty much a direct lift up. So you're getting the full weight. As you're going this way, you can understand you're doing a little tiny portion up, so the weight is much lighter. So this part of the movement of the lever is much easier than this part. This part weighs 9 pounds, let's say. This part weighs 2 or 1. It weighs very little. You're not lifting anymore. You're going sideways. So now it's just about how good your bearing is, you know, whether you're losing to friction. So in this part, you're just doing the friction thing on the bearing, but you're not really, okay, pushing the mass against gravity. All right, you're pushing the mass against the friction of the bearing because you're going mostly sideways, okay, and very little this way, where obviously when you're lifting, you're going mostly this way and a little tiny bit that way. All right, so that's part of understanding. Now for the two objects, the heavy mass and the light mass, those things tend to all compensate out, but again the fact is there's a real amount of friction on the bearing, and any oscillation, like I said, anything irregular, okay, in terms of the pressure on the rod, the bending of the rod, you could understand that any fling back and forth would end up creating more friction in the bearing. So that could be an explanation. But I'm just saying that this isn't enough of an experiment to tease out why the difference. Because there's no theoretical hope for the difference. I'm just saying you can't really theoretically come up with a great explanation for why there should be a lot of a difference. Except, again, this higher velocity does mean more air resistance. So that's a fact. You know, so there's different things you can point out as being little factors. Whether there's enough of those little factors to cause that result, I don't know. But again, this was a mistake. These keys sticking up, that's a mistake, because you can sort of see that this mass and this mass do not go through the center of gravity. So the key had to be down here, so the masses go through the center of the bearing, the turning point. The lever has to have the same mass on both sides of the lever at any position, or you're in trouble in terms of you don't have a equal distribution of the weight. The weight can't be equally distributed if it doesn't all go through the center of the mass evenly. All right, so enough of a video. So far from anything that could be called proving anything, okay? Again, it's pretty good evidence that certainly there's no evidence of it taking twice as much energy. No evidence at all that, 8.8 is twice as much as 7.3. No indication of that. So no indication of any kinetic energy argument here. This is just a subtle argument about some sort of factual difference that somehow moving a lighter mass twice the velocity somehow does take somehow a little tiny bit more energy. Little tiny bit, yeah. So, yeah, no, I don't think that theory is going anywhere. I don't think it has, like I said, I don't think it's theoretically sensible, and I don't think it matches any evidence, other physical evidence to in any way support that. So he has nothing here. He has no explanation of any theory whatsoever. Nothing. The problem, too, is he doesn't tell us what the total mass of the... You know, he tells us how much he's hanging, but he doesn't tell us the total mass of the center bearing. I mean, you know, the all that bullshit. Because as it turns out, it appears that whatever the whole mechanism weighs, naked, so to speak, the time he got here, 4.3 seconds, it appears that it's exactly the same as the little masses. So if you add up all the little masses, the 185 gram things, you know, that the whole system before you put the masses on must weigh something in the range of 600 grams. 800 grams. Something like that. Anyway, all right. So, that'll do. So again, this is so peripheral. And, you know, this doesn't undo anything I've already pointed out. It doesn't explain how the lever perfectly oscillates in gravity with twice the energy on one side that's on the other side. This doesn't explain that. It doesn't show how that makes sense or how that's actually happening or in any way whatsoever. All right. So, till the next time and such. This has been draftphysics.com, debatephysics.com also, but again, this is how they debate. So instead of countering any of the arguments made, countering Mythbusters video, countering the oscillator argument that you can't have twice as much energy on one side of an oscillator as the other side of the oscillator and expect the oscillator to work, unless it's moving somewhere. What else? Well, whatever. The whole litany of arguments that have been made that you have no evidence of it taking four times more energy to move something twice as fast. You know, to go from 30 miles an hour to 60 miles an hour takes twice as much energy as it took to... I mean, four times as much energy as it took to go 30 miles an hour. No chance you're proving that. No. The 10-ton trains do less work than 5-ton trains. We don't have any counter-arguments here. There's no counter-evidence being presented to any of those arguments. All right. So anyway, till the next time and such.